Archdiocese of New Zealand of the Ecumenical Patriarchate presents In the Narthex with Father Paul Patitsis. Join him as he shares with us the ancient apostolic faith of the Christian Greek Orthodox Church. And now your host, Father Paul.
Welcome to In the Narthex, a radio program of the Sacred Archdiocese of New Zealand. I'm your host, Father Pavlos of the Holy Trinity Greek Orthodox Church, located in lovely Western Springs. I hope you've been enjoying this travelogue series that we've been doing. We've been able to visit different islands and different places of Greece and to experience a little bit, not just life as a tourist, which obviously you can get on your own, you don't need my help for that, but life as an Orthodox pilgrim or as a Christian pilgrim. Or just as a pilgrim, if you're interested in holy sites, and to see the beautiful things that the Greeks love so much, and which are so much a part of their identity. Last week, we had the opportunity to go to Kerkyra, and that's the seventh largest island, we said, of the Ionian of the islands of Greece, and the largest of the Ionian islands. But this today, we're going to go to Kerkyra, which is also an Ionian island, but much farther south. And why is it also worthy of your time? Because of the saint whose relics, incorrupt relics, are there as well. You might find it odd that both Kerkyra and Zakynthos have incorrupt relics of a saint. But to be honest with you, there's more to tell. There's also Saint Hierasimos of Kefalonia, which is also another island there in the Ionian Sea, and his relics are also incorrupt. But we're not going to talk about St. Hierasimus today, except if we have time. But we're going to talk about St. Dionysius. Thank you for listening. I want to take a moment to thank Christina Douglas. Christina was a member of our community for many years. Now she lives in Wellington with her husband David Daniela, and we are borrowing this beautiful music from her, and I hope that you have time to purchase it from her. It's called Folk Songs of Greece, and they're very, very lovely and very well put together. And here is a daughter of our own New Zealand, who is of Greek background, who put together this lovely collection of Greek folk songs. And also, we are using Flight on Light by Mr. Manos Achalinotopoulos, and it's produced by a company called Rattle. And this was produced at the Victoria University, and our own John Sathas is helping with the production, with the arrangements, and also even playing on occasion some of the instruments that are part of this production, but not on the pieces that we are using. But what you will notice is the clarinet. Mr. Manos Achalinotopoulos plays an amazing clarinet. So a shout out to these locals, if you will, John Sathas and Christina Douglas, and to our fellow Greek Manos Achalinotopoulos, who does a great job with the clarino. As we said, we're doing our program a little different than usual, especially because it's summertime and people like to travel during the summer. So we said, let's take a travelogue of Greece. And if you happen to be one of our listeners from the Northern Hemisphere, you will look forward to the Zeo. Well, look what I can be doing in June and July of this coming year. But if you happen to be living in the Southern Hemisphere, as we do here in New Zealand, then perhaps you're going to say, hey, let's get on a plane now and go see Greece. And, of course, Greece would very much appreciate any visitors that should come, because it is a difficult time right now economically. But I promise you, the economics have not at all affected the beauty of that beautiful country, nor the kind-heartedness of its people. So I hope that you spend time there and visit. So as we promised you last week, we're going to now take you to Zakynthos. Zakynthos is a lovely island, one of the Ionian islands, and in its location is, again, on the western coast of Greece and the Ionian Sea. Its population presently is listed at approximately 40,000 people, which is really like a small city. So if you can imagine, all the people in Zakynthos probably know each other. But the pride of Zakynthos and the draw of many, many people to that beautiful island is not just, again, the beauty which is there. And if you want to see, again, and I encouraged you the last time to get on your favorite internet search site and look at beautiful images of Zakynthos, and I think you're going to be very amazed at what you see. Beautiful oceans and beautiful houses, and very idyllic, as Greece is so idyllic, and very even secluded beaches that are loved the world over, and underground caverns that the ocean flows into. And but of course, the beautiful towns themselves. It seems to be that they're also Venetian origin, as we experience with Kerkyra or Corfu. But this beautiful place is not noted so much for its history in terms of when the Venetians ruled and when the France ruled and so forth, because it isn't as large an island as Kerkyra, although similar forces were at act there. But rather because of this particular saint. And Saint Dionysius was born in the year 1547. He had been baptized with the name Draganigos, which is an unusual name I've never heard of before. But when he was made a monk, the name became Dionysius. Dionysius, ironically, means of two islands, Dionysia. And we all have heard of Dionysus, the ancient Greek god of wine and so forth. But this Dionysius has nothing in common with that Dionysius, because he lived a life of tremendous sobriety and attention to the gospel of Jesus Christ, and attention, of course, to the virtues. So Saint Dionysius, when he lived in the island, the Turks and the Venetians were at war. And his family, of course, was raised in the Orthodox life. And it is possible, some believe it to be this case, that St. Hierosymos of Kefalonia, that we mentioned just a little bit ago, was the one who baptized the future saint, since he had served as a priest in Zakynthos. And so Draganigos and his brother Constantine and sister Sigura were educated by native teachers and visiting tutors from Greece and Italy. Learning ancient Greek, Latin, and Italian, the children were instructed in the Holy Scriptures, patristic writings, and theology. And again, I'm reading, as in the past weeks, from the book Evlogita, A Pilgrim's Guide to Greece by Mother Nectaria McLeese. We're very thankful for her book. It appears that Mokios and Pavlina died early, for in his 21st year, Draganigos bestowed his property on his younger brother and sister and retired to a monastery on the largest of the Strophades Islands, 37 miles to the south. With characteristic intensity, he gave himself to fasting, prayer, vigil, and study, and he was respected as an astute spiritual advisor, even before his tonsure as a monk. So can you imagine, as a very young man of only 25 years, his parents had died, and he gave his property, whatever property he had, to his younger brother and sister, and gave his whole self over to living the life of a monk. And he was tonsured first with the name Daniel. You know, the name Daniel, of course, sometimes comes into Greek as Dionysius. I know that might seem a little strange, but Daniel is not a very common name among the Greeks, but Dionysius or Dennis or Danny are very much, in English language anyway, substitutes for Dionysius, Danny and Dennis. And I, if I may, please let me also at this time mention the beloved Father Dennis of Warren, Ohio, who was such a dear, Father Dennis Michaelis, such a dear man, and I served with him as a priest in Rocky River, Ohio. He just died recently in his 90s, and his name was Dionysius, but of course he was known in English as Dennis, and also as Father Danny. So a shout out to his family and to all those from Warren, Ohio, and wherever they may be in the world, who have great love for that very pious and holy man. Well, if you want to know his story, the most important part of the story, which we can tell you, is the story of the forgiveness of Saint Dionysius. It turns out that at some point in his life, while he was living on the island, a man came into his monastery and was covered in blood. And he said to the saint, "I have killed a man, and there's a mob now coming from my arrest. Please hide me from them, because they're gonna kill me." So he did. He took this man who had just murdered someone and hit him. So the man was hiding there in the monastery. And the people of the mob came to find him. And the mob knocked on the door of the monastery, and St. Dionysius opened the door. And the mob yelled, "Someone has killed your brother. Someone has killed your brother, and we think that he might have come in here, but we're looking for him." And he said to them, "Go and look farther. You might find him there." So he didn't exactly lie, but he certainly didn't tell the truth either. But he did hide this man, who he knew to be the murderer of his brother. And so that man, hearing that the mob had identified the murdered man as the brother of the hierarch, trembled, as you can imagine, and was completely overcome, thinking that he would be turned in and, of course, hung or whatever they would have done to him in those days, I don't know. And so when that didn't happen, and the saint opened the door and heard his confession and brought him to true repentance and placed the epitrachili over his head and asked God to forgive him. And then he said to the man, still died in the blood of his own brother, and he said, "I have helped you to repent. Now you must live a life of repentance." And he led him to a boat, a small little kaiki, as they say in Greek, a little, I don't know how to say it in English, but a small fishing boat. And he said, "Now, go." And so the man left and went to a little island. And he escaped, of course, the mob, and but he lived out his life in repentance, never to do anything of that nature again. And he became, according to some, that he became himself a monk and lived a very pious life after that. So if you can imagine, although St. Dionysius is known for many things, he's most known for forgiving this man who had murdered his own brother. No. Steve. Appreciate this beautiful Saint Dionysios, and of course the island of Zakynthos. I want to share with you some stories of miracles that Saint Dionysios has done from the book Evlogite, A Pilgrim's Guide to Greece by Mother Nektaria Miklis, that we've been reading from these four episodes. A childless couple. A child who had been childless for over 10 years prayed earnestly to Saint Dionysios, promising that if their prayers were answered, they would baptize the infant in Zakynthos. After a short time passed, Saint Dionysios appeared to the mother in a dream, assuring her that she would bear a child. She soon conceived and gave birth to a healthy boy. When the child was 5 months old, the family began its promised voyage to Zakynthos. On board ship, however, the child became ill and died 3 miles from the harbor. At the port, the disconsolate parents took the baby to the sepulcher of the saint and laid him on the floor in front of the relics. As they knelt there grieving, the child began to cry. With great joy, they went ahead with the baptism, and when the boy grew to manhood, he came annually on the saint's feast day to give thanks for his miraculous raising from the dead. That's an amazing story. On December 17th, 1841, this is a story about a crippled young girl, the saint's feast day, Evstratios Iatridis, a native of Sparta living in Zakynthos, wrapped his sick young daughter Katerina in a blanket and took her to the roadside where the procession with the saint's relics would pass by. His daughter had gone blind as a result of a serious illness and now lay unseeing and on hunchback, seemingly close to death. Her father lay her down on the path of the relics and, kneeling on the ground, prayed fervently to the saint. After the procession passed, that is to say, the relics of the saint passed over her. People stepped over her so they wouldn't hurt her, of course. He picked her up and unwrapped a blanket. At that moment, the child recovered her sight and was completely healed of her crippling infirmity. That was on December 17th, 1841. The English ship. One day, an English ship, unable to dock because of rough seas, anchored outside of Zakynthos in the Bay of Kerry. The tumultuous waves continued through the night, and by dawn the ship was in danger. On deck, the captain saw the Greek quarantine officer, Nicholas Katsoukalis, who had come on board that morning to certify the ship free of infectious disease, kneeling in prayer. When the captain asked him to whom he was praying, the officer told him about Saint Dionysios and the miracles that had occurred through his prayers. The English captain asked to join the officer, and as they knelt to pray for the safety of the ship, the wind and the sea became calm. The grateful captain brought a ship to land, venerated the relics, and donated a silver vigil lamp in thanksgiving for their rescue. Of course, that vigil lamp is still at the monastery till today. The blind shoemaker, Panayotis Kalanzopoulos, or Kalanzopoulos, a devout Orthodox shoemaker in Zakynthos, lost his sight. In great grief for himself and his family, he prayed fervently to St. Dionysius, and on December 14, 3 days before the feast, the saint appeared to him in a dream and said, "My child, take heart. In 3 days you will be healed." On the saint's feast day, at the very moment the relics were being carried past Kalanzopoulos' home, Panayotis was healed. Amazing. And there are more stories. I don't know if you want to hear them all, but let's go now to the doubting abbot. Since many of us are doubters, let's see what the doubting abbot has to say. When Abbot Daniel was in charge of the monastery where the relics were kept, he was tempted with doubts about the sanctity of St. Dionysius. A good and careful cleric, he prayed earnestly to know whether or not the saint was in heaven. Not long afterwards, he had a dream in which he gave one of the monks his blessing to ring the church bells to start the morning service. Awaking a moment later, he thought that he had really given the blessing and got up to go to church. When he opened the door, he saw St. Dionysius standing in the middle of the church, being arrayed for the service in his episcopal garb. The saint stood with his hands resting on the shoulders of the two deacons vesting him. Two priests also attended him, dressed in white vestments, and as the abbot stood watching, one of them turned to him and asked, "Do you still doubt, or are you now convinced?" Deeply shaken, the abbot left the church, but disbelieving senses crept back to see if the heavenly assembly was still present. The priests and deacons were gone, but the abbot clearly saw St. Dionysius climb back into his coffin. Awestruck, the abbot awoke the brothers to tell them of what he had seen, and afterwards a fervent preacher of St. Dionysius' sanctity and miracles. So, if you can imagine, he was very, very moved by that experience. Well, this has been really wonderful for us. I mean, I hope you're enjoying it as much as I am, but taking these beautiful trips through Greece and seeing not what the tourists see. Of course, there's plenty to see, and I hope you see that too. The beautiful oceans and the wonderful towns and the wonderful restaurants and just the kind people who are so much a part of Greece. But also now to see what it is that makes the Greek a Greek. And you find out that he has so much love for the saints, and that the saints to him are still alive, whether they be St. Kerkira, who died in the 300s, or St. Dionysius, who died in the 1500s, that we still believe them to be a part of us, and we feel their presence all the time. These islands, not only is there one holy site, there's many. You know, can you imagine the population we said of Zakynthos is 40,000, but they have many pilgrimage sites just on their little island. And I do recommend that you get your hands on this beautiful book, Evlogite, A Pilgrim's Guide to Greece, by Mother Nectaria Maclis. I'm sure it's available through Amazon, but it's from St. Nicholas Press. And if you are interested, please contact us through the church at Holy Trinity in Western Springs, and we can even try and order it for you if you're interested. But in Zakynthos, there's also the Church of St. Mavra. Now, the word Mavra in Greek means black. Mavros is black, or Mavra for something feminine. So it's generally a name given to someone who would be dark-skinned. But there is the story of St. Timothy and St. Mavra, who were a husband and wife, who lived in the year 286, and Emperor Diocletian had raised a harsh persecution against the church. They were arrested 20 days after their wedding and brought to trial for their faith before Arianus, the governor of the Egyptian Thebaid. According to the Orthodox tradition, Timothy was a reader in the local church, and when the governor demanded that he hand over the liturgical books to be burnt, Timothy replied, "If a loving father instinctively obeys the laws of nature and would not deliver his offspring to death, how can I deliver my children, these sacred volumes, into your filthy hands?" The governor, incensed, pointed to the brutal weapons that lay arrayed near him and said, "Don't you see these instruments of torture?" Timothy responded, "I see them, but you don't see the angels of God who are strengthening me." Furious, the governor ordered his soldiers to pierce Timothy's ears through with iron rods. I won't tell you what happened next, but anyway, he began to be put to death. Mavra, Timothy's young wife, was at first afraid of the torture, but then she took courage from her husband's example and steadfastly confessed her faith. The governor commanded that her hair be torn out and her fingers cut off. Strengthened by the grace of God, she would not relent even after this. And that Arianus ordered that both husband and wife be crucified within sight of each other. And they remained hanging on their crosses for 9 days, encouraging one another to endure with words and looks. And on the 10th day, they gave their souls. Now, one of the things that you might want to know about St. Mavra from her story is that, at least as I heard it once, St. Mavra and her husband were both on the cross, and the idea of crucifying them so they could see each other was that, knowing that they loved each other, the one would not want to see the other suffering and would give in and choose to comply with the evil decree of Diocletian. And so at some point, after many days on the cross, the young Timothy said, "Please, please, I can't bear one more minute to see you suffer, my beautiful wife Mavra. Please, let's come down from the cross. It's enough. We've suffered enough." And instead of responding to his kind and sympathetic words, she said, "What? Are we to have wasted all this effort? We've suffered all this time, and now we're going to give up our lives we've suffered for nothing in vain? Shouldn't we finish this race and give all honor to God who chose us for this high calling?" And in other such words, I don't know exactly what words she said, but she encouraged her husband, and they both finished the race as martyrs for Christ. And when we say martyr, of course, try and remember, a Christian martyr is not someone who tries to hurt other people, but someone who does everything, even suffers in his own flesh, so that others can be blessed, so that others can be strengthened, so that others' faith can be deepened, and, of course, never to deny Christ. And so, of the two, for some reason, in the Church's tradition, St. Mavra is honored even more than her husband. And her church is there in Zakynthos. And I don't know if they have any of her relics there, but certainly they have a beautiful miracle-working icon of St. Mavra in Zakynthos. Thank you for listening to In the Narthex. This radio program is a ministry of the Sacred Archdiocese of New Zealand, whose Archshepherd is His Eminence, Archbishop Amphilochios, and which is headquartered in Wellington. We thank you for listening to this program, and we look forward to being with you again next week as we continue our travelogue through Greece.